Bickley and Murata, social studies.
Oh, I have a feeling I know what the subject matter of social studies will be today.
Yeah.
It's going to be about that rousing Arizona Wildcats victory over the woeful Washington Huskies on Saturday.
That Tumbleous. Is correct. Yes. How we doing, guys?
Good. How are you, Sarah?
Good. Lots of energy on days like today. Big, exciting breaking news coming through. And yes, Vince, we will spend quite a lot of time talking about this J.J. Watt signing in social studies today. So we're going to start off with your instant reaction. As soon as you saw his tweet, source, me, what was your instant reaction? What did you think? How did you feel?
Jarrett like flashed it up on the screen on our messenger system. And we started talking about it because he hit the breaking news sounder. And I said, wow, this is kind of goofy. We're doing breaking news for something that might be Photoshopped. And then it realized really quickly it wasn't Photoshopped.
Oh.
I wasn't aware of any of that.
And then Adam Schefter's tweet came out right after that. So.
Yeah.
To me, this is, I felt in real time, and honestly, this was going through my head as you began to, I'm like, I can't believe for the second consecutive year, we have got the same kind of story happening here.
Mm-hmm.
This bombshell out of nowhere involving a Texans legend breaking right at the start of our program. I'm like, this is deja vu in a really cool kind of way.
Is it too early to start projecting or predicting who the former Texan that will land in Arizona next March will be? But it's becoming a tradition on the show.
I don't know that there's anybody else on the team that you would want, unless it's the quarterback.
The return of David Johnson.
I hear they got a running back who's a really nice guy.
He's a good guy.
Good guy. That's right.
The other thing that made it shocking was just like the DeAndre Hopkins thing, at best, it was only slightly hinted at.
Right. Not expected.
Completely out of nowhere.
Because the other semi-recent big, huge breaking news was the Chris Paul signing. Mm-hmm. But the Chris Paul signing, we were sort of like, should they do it? Are they rumored? They're one of the teams talked about.
Trade.
Been tracking.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes.
That's right. No, sorry.
Right.
Yeah. So reactions rather from our listeners. Jason McTeague, he says the Cardinals stole a chapter from the Phoenix Suns, bringing on a legend, a leader, and a role model. Chris Paul making all the changes here in Arizona. Keith Dees says, other than my wife, this is one of the most beautiful things I have ever seen in my life, to be perfectly honest. Thank you for that disclaimer, Keith.
I love it.
And my wife.
Yes, exactly. Chris Weber says, as long as J.J. Watt stays healthy, this is awesome. And then Ed Swan says, how many games does he play over the next 2 years? I'm betting 10 or fewer. So something to consider.
Look,
but
it is a risk.
Yeah.
That is a very real element of the story.
Yeah.
It's part of the deal.
Definitely. But we will see. We will see how that turns out.
But as John McClain pointed out, only one of two or three defensive linemen to play more than 1,000 snaps last year. So
there you go.
Resurgent health.
Okay.
Fountain
we'll
of
take,
youth.
We'll take
all of it. Just think positively.
Yes. Moving on to our next question. Kind of similar vein. You know, it's not social studies if we don't have a food or a movie quote question. So we went with the latter today. What movie quote best describes how you feel about this signing? And I know you guys typically take a second to think about a movie quote, so I can read some of our responses first if you would like to.
Sure.
Okay. We have from Sons 68 from the movie Titanic, I'm the king of the world! Leo at the front of the ship. It's a formative image for Sarah Cazell as a 9-year-old. Garrett May from one of the Godfather movies. When I thought I was out, they pull me back in.
That's a good one.
Really good impersonation, I know. Thank you.
Yeah. Bob Pacino was in the booth.
Thank you.
Just when I thought I was out, they pull me back in.
Dodgers bro from Jerry Maguire, show me the money. That was a pretty popular reply. Also from Jerry Maguire, you had me at hello. Jay Lewis says J.J. Watt completes our D-line. So he has him at hello.
Yep.
And then I'm pretty sure this is a Jurassic Park reference.
Never heard of it.
From Droppin' Low. Oh, come on. He says, hold on to your butts.
That's good. I like that.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's from Jurassic Park.
Yes.
Yep.
Okay. That's
the first one that I thought of was the first one that popped up. And, of course, it's a Sandler movie. From Billy Madison, dodgeball scene. This was from J.D. Now you're all in big trouble.
Yes. Yes, that's a good one. And then we do also have somebody who is not super excited about it. Quadrad says the Cardinals overpaid. He'll spend more time out with injuries than J.J. Watt will playing. So the quote is from 30 Rock, Liz Lemon saying, no, thank you, please. But like you said, Vince, we're going to focus on the positive today.
Up until the last couple of weeks, there were still people against the Chris Paul trade. So
true.
The Anchorman quote is good, too.
Good
boy, that escalated quickly.
That is very fitting. Yes.
Yes. Okay, another question. Cardinals, J.J. Watt. This signing, of course, plenty of people have already tweeted us and said, what about Hassan Reddick? 12 and a half sacks last year, 6 forced fumbles, banned and unrestricted free agent. So we are asking, if money is equal or close to equal, who would you rather have for the next 2 seasons, Hassan Reddick or J.J. Watt?
Look, I many times during the 2020 season, even before, I always enjoyed Hassan Reddick being a Cardinal. Every time we had him on the show, he was fantastic. I gave him major credit for sticking with it and having the right attitude in difficult circumstances.
Mm-hmm.
This shouldn't even be a thought.
I agree with
and
you.
I love Hassan Reddick.
Yeah.
But he's not one of the most dominant defensive players that's ever walked the face of the earth.
No.
Yeah.
No, that's exactly right. With the potential of what you're getting, it addresses more things. It works on more levels than just the playing field. So
and again,
I just, as I've been saying all morning, the Hassan Reddick, just everything about his contract status was a lose-lose proposition for the Cardinals.
Mm-hmm.
And this wipes that out. This mm-hmm. takes that problem away.
Yeah, our listeners think the same thing. 81% of them said, all things equal, J.J. Watt is who they take for the next 2 years. And a lot of people, to your point, Dan, about it's not just the on-the-field stuff that J.J. Watt brings, it's the off-the-field stuff, the leadership, the locker room presence. A ton of people replied saying that is what we are most excited for.
I wonder if I asked that on Friday, what they would have said.
Oh, yeah.
Like, a lot of it is like, well, we have him now, and
Jesus!
We sign him now, yeah.
Totally.
Yeah,
I think
true.
I think that's completely fair.
There's fairness in that, yes.
Yeah. But J.J. Watt is who everyone is most excited about today with the news of his signing. Now, we are looking at 3 athletes on the Arizona Cardinals nearing or close to the end of their career, some closer than others. We are asking J.J. Watt, Patrick Peterson, and Larry Fitzgerald, which of those 3 players has the most left in the tank?
Again, timing of the question is very important here. I'm hoping it's J.J. Watt because he's the only sure thing on the roster for next year. My answer otherwise would be, I think there's a discussion to be had between Peterson and Watt, both members of the same draft class. But I would lean towards Watt.
Okay.
Yeah, so would I. Because I think we've seen the decline in Patrick Peterson.
Yeah.
Although there's a really great discussion to be had there relative to when you look at Larry Fitzgerald, it's very easy to blame his lack of production on others. We do that because we love Larry.
Yes.
We don't do that for Patrick Peterson. We blame it squarely on Patrick Peterson.
Yes.
On Patrick
Peterson.
Well,
he blames enough other people so that we don't need to blame.
So it all evens out? All right.
Oh, that's true. That's true. Well, again, the question, which player has the most left in the tank? And yes, Vince, most people did vote for J.J. Watt. It is 77% of our voters voting for the newest Arizona Cardinal today. And then it's 12% for the other two. 11.9% say Patrick Peterson has the most left. 11.6% say Larry Fitzgerald has the most left. And that brings us to our final question for today. What do you think it means that Larry Fitzgerald has not announced his decision for next season at this point? 3 options. That means he is more likely to return. That means he is more likely to retire. Or Fitz truly does not know what he's going to do. What do you think?
Maybe it's my simple brain, but I think every day that passes, it means he's more likely to return.
I think I see that. I acknowledge that is definitely a possibility, but I'm reading it that Larry Fitzgerald decided he was going to take this thing up until a week to go in free agency to milk every last minute out of his decision process when it comes to retirement. Retirement is final. I think nothing changes. I think he still retires.
Okay. It is 56% of the voters who think the prolonged period means he's most likely to return. 25% think that he's still wrestling with it. He doesn't know what he's going to do. 20% think it means he is most likely to retire. We will see.
All right. It's a lot of J.J. Watt content right
there. Sure was.
Let's do this again tomorrow. What do you say? What are you guys doing around 1 o'clock?
Sounds good.
All right.
Pretty much this.
Thank you, Sarah.
Thanks, guys.
You sounded so excited about it. Pretty much I'm stuck to this every day at 1. Want to eat my lunch, but I can't eat my lunch.
Doesn't stop Jarrett.
Hey, bring me some potted meats tomorrow, will ya?
Autumnal soups and potted meats all around.
Thank you.
That's the name of Jarrett's autobiography, by the way. Social studies every day at 1 o'clock. Coming up next, more reaction to the, earth-shattering news. J.J. Watt signing with the Arizona Cardinals. Straight ahead, it's Bickley Murata on this Monday, live from the Ok Chin Community Studios, 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
98.7 FM, Arizona's Sports Station. Bickley and Murata.
Bickley and Murata.
Well, first of all, I'm shocked. I never had the Cardinals in my list of the top five, never even thought of the Cardinals, because Watt wanted to go, we thought, to a Super Bowl contender, and he wanted to have fun again. Well, he can have fun out there, of course, in a great city, great stadium, playing for a fun coach, and Cliff Kingsbury, and he knows the defensive coordinator, Vance Joseph, because Vance's first year here and secondary coach under Wade Phillips was Watt's first year here in 2011. And then Watt started next to Angelo Blackson when Angelo was here. So he's got people, of course, Hopkins first and foremost. And as I wrote for our website, there's at least one game for Texans fans to get excited about next season, and that's because of Watt and Hopkins and the Cardinals.
That's John McClain from the Houston Chronicle. He joined us earlier in the show talking about his level of shock. He said it. You kind of reiterated it. If John McClain, who is an institution in Houston and has been all over this story from the moment J.J. Watt asked for his release, if this took him by surprise... This is a shocking development.
Yeah, if it wasn't even on the list, then yes, there is no doubt about it. Even Blake Shelton, country music star now, has tweeted out his approval. Can't read that tweet, can I?
I didn't see it.
You could read most of it. You could read most of it.
Congratulations at J.J. Watt, and welcome home to the AZ Cardinals, my man. I will be fielding all inquiries on behalf of Steve Keim. Our first statement is as follows. Other teams can bleep. I don't know if it's a bleep. I don't know. It just whatever.
Close enough. Though.
That's a little tweet it. Tweet at it. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I like
that. All right.
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
Speaking of shock, I got a nephew who's a big Buffalo Bills fan. So I texted him during the commercial break. Said, "Hey, sorry, the Cardinals poached him out from underneath." He said, "Yeah, I thought he was really going to be a Bill." The reaction on social media, too, from Steelers, Bills,
Packers fans.
Browns fans are all kind of lumped into the same thing. Like, here come the Cardinals out of nowhere to get J.J. Watt. And look, they're not doing this for PR reasons. There's a lot of those built in, but they're doing this for football reasons and beyond. Here was John McClain sharing those thoughts on that.
If you're an offensive tackle or if you're in one-on-one drills, and you're any position, and you're not going all out in a drill, you will regret it because he'll knock you on your butt because that's the way he is all the time. And he'd be a very strong influence for Cliff Kingsbury in the locker room. And he'll do things in the community. I have never seen a player do as much in the community as J.J. And it goes all the way back to his first year in 2011. A lot of people just figured it out when he had his Hurricane Harvey relief fund that was over $40 million that he's still distributing, and he'll do things there in the community, and he doesn't publicize things he does. A lot of people think he does, but it's the people he does them for or with who publicize it, so people there will reap a lot of benefits from having J.J. that doesn't just extend to the playing field.
Yeah, off the playing field, on the playing field, talking about an offensive tackle not going 100% in a drill. I mean, that level of professionalism starts and trickles down. And it's, you know, just from gauging on the outside, it's certainly an ingredient the Cardinals need moving forward.
Yeah, there's no doubt about it. John McClain is also making national news today because of his stance that the Texans need to start taking phone calls on Deshaun Watson. So one story is led into the other in terms of the national news cycle. The idea that J.J. Watt now is the latest Texan who is no longer on the Texans. They're like, okay, what's next for this tire fire that is the Houston Texans? And that's a fascinating question in and of itself, because if you're to tell me that the 49ers end up with Deshaun Watson and we get J.J. Watt, I'm not sure that's a net win for the Arizona Cardinals. But at the same time, it's indicative of the Cardinals more than anybody else has feasted on this dysfunctional franchise.
Yeah, I mean, this one's a little bit different because it wasn't a direct trade, but the dysfunction led to J.J. Watt wanting out. And you know, I was wondering and asked John McClain about it. We played it the epic rant from J.J. Watt at the end of last year, if that was the sign that he wanted out. Here's what John McClain said.
He's just frustrated. They were all frustrated because they had an awful season. But he's one that's very emotional, and he showed it after that one. I've never seen him do that again. But all that time, I thought, with 1 year left in his contract, knowing they were over the cap at that time, that they would find a way to extend him, lower his cap figure, make sure he finished his career in Houston. But the things got so negative. The season was terrible. Everything around the team is negative. Then Deshaun Watson wants out. It's just one negative day after another. And when he told us after the season, when he wouldn't commit to coming back, that's when I knew he was gone.
Yeah, continuing to your point, it's been the perception nationally is it's been a pillaging of the Texans by the Cardinals.
Without a doubt.
I say don't stop. Let's go get Dan Pastorini, Earl Campbell.
I was not ready for that.
Robert Brazil.
Munchak.
Ken Burrows.
Wow. That's a good one.
Rob Carpenter.
You know what's
I've got a kicker in my head right now, and I can't place him.
Tony Frisch.
There you go. That's a good one.
Tony Frisch. I was also thinking about this. Like, you know how we the last 2 years especially, complaining that Devin Booker doesn't get respect, he doesn't not getting the star power that he deserves. In the last, you know, 6 months, they've added Chris Paul and J.J. Watt, two guys with such star power. They have two of the most prominent national commercials things. J.J. Watt hosted a game show over the summer.
J.J. Watt has been in a major motion picture with Mila Kunis.
He's hosted Saturday Night Live.
He's hosted Saturday Night Live, that's right. The first Phoenix athlete to host Saturday Night Live.
Elvin Buffea. Chris Dishman.
I love that you have Ray Childress.
Bob Phillips. Bud Adams. Billy White Shoes Johnson.
Oh, that's the ultimate one right there.
White Shoes. Yeah.
Haywood Jeffries.
That's good. That's right. Aldo Greco.
All right, we're past giddiness at this point. It's understandable. You can win a brand new Arizona Cardinals J.J. Watt jersey. Just text Watt, W-A-T-T, to 620-620. That's Watt to 620-620, and you could be one of the first to have a Cardinals J.J. Watt jersey. Text and data rates may apply. We've tiptoed around it, but the question is out there. We talked to John McClain about it as well. What does this mean for the future of Deshaun Watson, and how involved should the Cardinals get there? Bickley and Murata, 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
98.7 FM, Arizona's Sports Station. Bickley and Murata, Song of the Day.
Turn down for what? Turn down for what?
Could have guessed this.
Turn down for
what?
This would be an easy one to parody. There's no other words.
Easy, Jared. I don't have to say much. That's today's song of the day.
Bigley and Murata, your daily dose of Vinny Joe trivia.
J.J. Watt, Vic.
Mm-hmm.
Something seemed eerily empty right here. J.J. Watt has 101 sacks in his 16-year NFL career, but he has sacked two quarterbacks more than any other, 11 times apiece. Can you name the two quarterbacks?
Okay.
It's a little bit of a thinker.
But I have one guess.
All right, what's your one guess?
Andrew Luck.
Andrew Luck is one of them.
Wow, that's a good guess.
But I think I'm on to Jarrett's deduction skills here. Thinking division opponent.
Yeah. But the other two teams don't really have long-term division or long-term quarterbacks.
Not right now. He's been there 10 years, Jarrett. Any guess?
No.
I don't know.
Blake Bortles.
Oh my goodness gracious.
I'm guessing Cody Fincher got the correct answer. Bear's back there celebrating. Well done, Bear. Blake Bortles and Andrew Luck.
Okay, so here's the unfortunate thing about that trivia question is that both of those quarterbacks played several years ago, which means, obviously, that his prime was several years ago for J.J. Watt, if you want to look at it that way.
No, but a lot of it has to do with the quarterback situations of the respective teams. Like you said, they're switching a lot of quarterbacks in that division.
Yeah. The easy way to look at it, once again, because the money is a concern with J.J. Watt because of the games that he's not played, and it's three of the last 4 years, not just two out of the last three. But he did stay healthy last year completely, and there's no doubt that he will play hurt. So you just got to hope that they come through on that end. And the best way to look at it, once again, is if the team... Say if J.J. Watt was never interested in the Arizona Cardinals and you said, okay, you know what, we have to have Hassan Reddick. We need somebody to rush the passer on the other side. He would have cost you $16 million to franchise tag him.
Mm-hmm.
And that's about what you're paying J.J. Watt.
Yeah, I think that's a perfectly logical, reasonable way to look at it.
Now, it's what you bet on, J.J. Watt's pedigree helping the overall growth of this team because he's given them something they need. He's given them there's a lack of relatable dudes in that locker room, guys who are people, person who, you know, just come up and hang and just kind of get into each other, that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
And I think that you can't have too many of those guys. And who those guys are on the Cardinals now, I don't know, but I think J.J. Watt's going to be a really good voice to pair with Buda Baker to kind of create a new kind of vibe on that defense. And that's, to me, it's important because, you know, my feelings on this, I for years, the Cardinals have gotten better at physicality. Last year, at times, was about as good as I've seen them from a physical standpoint in about 5 years. But they need to be more physical. They just the upper echelon teams in the NFL seem to burn at a hotter level than the Cardinals, even when they kind of had addressed that problem.
It's fair.
And I hope that's something that's a thing of the past. The slow starts, the sleepwalking into games, that kind of stuff. Hopefully that won't happen. I just think there's going to be a lot more hands-on leadership to a team that didn't have a ton of it.
Yeah, on the flip side of this, the Houston side of it, we knew even before this happened today that J.J. Watt was not going to be a member of the Houston Texans. I think there's a finality to it now, you know, for Texans fans that are like, ugh, this is just terrible. So what does this mean now for Deshaun Watson? We talked to John McClain earlier today, John McClain in a mailbag feature on Houston Chronicle's website. He finally said, look, the Texans need to start listening to offers on Deshaun Watson. So now, you know, who could put together the most attractive offer for Deshaun Watson? You asked John McClain that very question. If it was Kyler Murray, a Texas schoolboy legend going back, how much would that pique the interest of the Houston Texans?
So you guys are getting your hopes up now. I have no idea what David Culley or Tim Kelly or any or Pep Hamilton, the new quarterback coach, would think about something like that. And I'm sure Kyler Murray wouldn't like it. No, who would want to come here with this team, which will be competing for the top pick in a draft? Kyler Murray, who was never associated with anything but winners from the time he was a sophomore in high school, and finally got to 8-8. And it looks like the Cardinals, even though it's the toughest division in the NFL, have a chance to get to the playoffs, which they came close to this year. So maybe he would retire instead of come to the Texans.
Wow. Take the fast track right to baseball at that point in time, right?
Yeah, that would be extreme. But look, this is a question that some people are asking. This is a question that some people want to explore. This is a question that makes a lot of people in Cardinals fan base very mad. But we're talking about possibilities here.
Yeah.
And the Cardinals have shown a propensity to be able to bilk the Texans before. The franchise has never been at a lower spot. If they get to the point where they're offering or listening to offers for Deshaun Watson, John McClain said it himself, they would not take any deal that did not allow them to identify and secure their future franchise quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
Do they have that belief that Kyler Murray is that guy? I see the flip side of it as well. How many times are you going to switch quarterbacks if you're pointed in the right direction, supposedly, if you're the Cardinals? I get it. I also get the point that people say, yeah, Deshaun Watson is better than Kyler Murray right now, but we also haven't seen the fully developed Kyler Murray NFL quarterback.
There's no doubt. And that might be a very exciting journey to take. And I'm down with that. Please, again, I have to reiterate this. I'm not trying to run Kyler Murray out of here. I'm just recognizing that if the Houston Texans need to trade Deshaun Watson, why wouldn't you be involved? There's every team that doesn't have a complete check mark by their franchise quarterback box should be making a phone call. That's all. Clearly there's some guys on the inside here who can help you out in terms of recruiting that guy here, and you also have to keep him outside of San Francisco at all costs. And so I think there's a lot on the line there, and I'm not saying it to continue to push a narrative or to disrupt the team. I'm just saying it's smart. It would be a smart thing to do. Ed Werder tweeted out an hour ago, quote, I was told J.J. Watt's first criteria in choosing his team would be the quality of quarterback, so this seems to be an endorsement of at K1, Kyler Murray.
Mm-hmm.
Kyler Murray retweeted that. I think we all look at Kyler Murray and see that there is a great player in there, but there are also things to be concerned about.
I think that's a very fair assessment of it. Kyler Murray also tweeted out a picture from 6 years ago, his senior year of high school. Welcome to AZ. Let's get it, J.J. Watt. It's J.J. Watt, Kyler Murray, and Carl Anthony Towns. And if you thought Kyler Murray looked short on his own. Look at that picture, man.
Wow. Yeah.
Are they going to be able to recreate that photo again next year?
You're going to go down both of those roads
now,
Jared?
I know all the Suns Twitter's like loving it right now.
Hey, you saw DeAndre Ayton outplay Carl Anthony Towns last night. By the way, one item of Suns news. This has obviously been a very Cardinal-heavy, J.J. Watt-heavy show.
Yeah.
Devin Booker won another Western Conference Player of the Week award.
That's good. Twice in 1 month.
He's rolling.
Mm-hmm.
And this time Giannis won it in the Eastern Conference.
Yeah. See Giannis' dunk yesterday? It was insane.
Which one?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, we will. It's like a big Red Monday here, except there's no game to talk about yesterday. There is a big signing to talk about as well, so we'll be joined by Burns and Gambo. A little roundtable action next. It's Bickley and Marotta on this Monday, 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
Dan Bickley, Vince Marotta.
Bickley and Marotta,
98.7 FM, Arizona's Sports Station.
Oh, what a day. It's winding down for us, but it's just the beginning. In a lot of ways, for the gentlemen that follow us on the airwaves, Burns and Gambo starting at 2 o'clock, but why wait till 2 when we can do a little Big Red Monday crosstalk here?
Oh, it's like it's the season.
I know.
Man.
We don't have to complain about play calls or in-game decisions.
Zane Gonzalez. Great
because Vinny, because when you're in the room in a round table setting, Vinny's always got anxiety issues because he knows you should be running it.
He's probably right to feel that way.
Oh, man. Wow.
That's what I like.
Vic, no. Did you strain yourself throwing me under the bus? Well, I hope you're okay.
I mean, I drive the bus better than anybody, so I'm the one who ran you over, apparently.
Yeah. It was meant to be humorous, and it worked.
Hey, look who's back, everybody.
It's Gamble's back.
Nice. Can you hear me?
No, we can hear we can hear you when you're in that room, Gambo.
Yep, back after a year. Needed directions on how to get here.
Did you?
Yeah. Your card still worked and everything getting in the door?
No. No, I had to be call up and get help to get in.
And change his password on his
computer.
I changed
my password. His password wasn't working.
Yeah. Obviously, it happened at about, Bick and I were talking about it, last March. It was about 2 weeks later in March last year is when we got at about 10:45 on our show. We got the bombshell. Hey, this DeAndre Hopkins deal is coming out. We hit March. It seems like this is going to be an annual occurrence now. We get some bombshell acquisition by the Cardinals. We were both, you know, not 100% blindsided because, you know, we talked about the idea of kicking tires, but I didn't think J.J. Watt's ending up in Arizona. So what was your first reaction to this?
Well, I know in October when I checked on this, when he was, can you trade for J.J. Watt? They had no interest. Too old, too injury prone, the contract, having to give up assets to get him. They had no interest in J.J. Watt in October. 6 months later, when I checked on it a couple of weeks ago, they said, yeah, we're going to study him. We're going to take a look. Okay, so we talked about that we weren't ruling it out. We weren't playing Blue Oyster Cult. We didn't rule it out at all. Last week, I had a player tell me, to Chandler Jones, I had a Cardinal player, message me and say, Chandler Jones is talking to J.J. Watt, trying to get him to come here. Okay, but there's a lot of players that are talking to J.J. Watt to try to... So we discussed it on our show that Chandler Jones had reached out to J.J. Watt to try to get him to come here, but I didn't really think that much of it for the simple fact that I'm sure there's a dozen teams in this league that was having players reach out to J.J. Watt to try to convince him to come.
I have never in my life looked more dutifully for the blue check on Twitter than I did when that picture tweeted today. Like, okay, hold on. Is that him? Okay, hold on, Adam Schefter. Is that really Adam Schefter?
Right?
I mean, it was serious. Yeah. I had one of those, don't just hit retweet on this. Don't start reacting to it until you look at the social media accounts and make damn sure that is actually J.J. Watt who just tweeted out that photo. And then once that happened, it was just like this steady doubt. I was shocked. I was almost 100% blindsided. I never thought in a million years he would choose to come here, that the Cardinals would choose to pay him that kind of money to get him to come here. I mean, you could argue that is kind of a little bit of an overpay for J.J. Watt given his injury situation, but the Cardinals are swinging big, missing big on this one. And then immediately my thoughts turn to, who does this mean won't be back?
Mm-hmm.
Is it Hassan? Is it Patrick? Is it Larry?
All of the above.
Right? I mean, you got to pay for this somehow. And that was immediately where my mind started going to, how do you pay for something
I think all the shows were in alignment that sure, we'd love to have J.J. Watt, but like you said, what do you want to come here and can the Cardinals really afford a luxury purchase like this? Do they have enough around to compete? Should they be allocating this kind of a number to a guy that hasn't been that available in recent years? And those are legitimate risks. But, you know, if they were going to tag Hassan Reddick, it would have cost him nearly $16 million.
They weren't going to do that. I don't think that there was. Look, honestly, they don't like Reddick that much. Okay, I mean, they just, you know, there's a part of them that just feels like he's really good at one thing, just rushing the passer. But if you ask him to do a lot of other things, it's not his forte. So he's very limited. A lot of mental errors go on with Hassan Reddick. So I think that they like Hassan Reddick, but I don't think they were ever going to pay Hassan Reddick.
No, not the franchise tag of over $16 million, as Bick said, and you know that's probably. And this is probably, you know, pushing this further down the road. Let him get that money from somewhere else. We've seen players get paid on 1 year production. Hassan Reddick is going to do very well for himself for having a 12.5 sack season.
But the Cardinals are not going to be the team that pays for his 5-sack game. And I think in this situation, that I think moving the furniture this way, it's a decent risk to take. I think there's some desperation in this. I think the GM and the head coach know that they're on hot seats going into this year. There's clearly an arms race in this division, and who knows what's going to shake out next. If Russell Wilson is going, if Deshaun Watson is coming, who knows? But I think this, what this does, the power of this, is it gives the Cardinals something to rally people around.
Yeah.
Something to get excited about.
And the other thing I thought of, too, when we were talking about this in our show prep meeting a second ago, and we'll get into this during our show, I'm sure you guys have talked about it as well, is okay, if everybody says the marketplace in the NFL this year is going to be filled with a bunch of one-year deal guys to reestablish value with the shrinking cap, yes, there are very attractive options out there. Did the Cardinals just move closer to the top of the list? I'm not saying at the top.
The deluxe
of the list.
Apartment in the sky?
Well, maybe they're moving on up. Yeah, they're not quite the penthouse yet, but did they just move up the list a little bit in terms of favorable destinations for guys looking to take one-year deals on the cheap, looking to reestablish value? You know, the super team concept that some player, I can't remember who, about a week ago, not that the Cardinals are a super team yet. There are other better options out there. But now maybe if you're looking to reestablish value, a one-year deal with the Cardinals is not a bad place to start or finish.
I think it was a Chase Edmonds tweet.
I think that's who it was.
Tweeted out about how, you know, a lot of guys on one-year deals could
teams.
Have a super team.
Yeah,
yep.
Yeah.
Yeah. I brought up the point, too. When you look at a situation, Tampa Bay were fearsome rushing the passer in their playoff run especially. But when you have multiple guys that can get after the quarterback, and they did. They had one up the middle in Vea. They had JPP. They've got Shaq Barrett. They got Ndamukong Suh. And we saw what that did to the Kansas City offense, certainly, and other offenses. It's a copycat league, but, I mean, I can't get past the potential devastating effects of having Chandler Jones on one side, J.J. Watt on the other, or the ability to move J.J. Watt around.
Remember,
internally, interior line or on the outside. I mean, it gives you so many options.
You remember when they tried that back in the late 90s? Right, Simeon Rice and Eric Swan.
Andre Wadsworth.
Uh-huh. And
Mark Smith.
They
played like two games together.
They were trying to build the greatest defensive line of all time that was just going to annihilate quarterbacks and get up, you know, and get all those sacks.
Steve, the late great Steve Schoenfeld dubbed that line the Cactus Crunch, and it never got off the ground.
Never.
Not the line. The defensive front.
Yeah, yeah. It was a great nickname.
Great nickname. Yeah.
Rest in peace, Shoney. It was a great nickname.
Yeah, I know.
It never stuck like that. And then, of course, there are the questions offensively, too. I mean, defense wasn't really the problem last year.
No.
For
the pass rush
team.
Certainly wasn't the problem.
No. And, again, not that I have buyer's remorse about this. It wasn't my money. But you're not done yet. You still need to figure out a complimentary wide receiver to DeAndre Hopkins. Mm-hmm. You still need to find a bruising running back. I know we talked a lot about the offensive line and maybe improving that from within. As well as a possibility, how much money will they have to spend? There's a billion other questions that come from this, but man, J.J. Watt is a star.
Yeah, he is a star.
He's a star.
Just on the surface, we were coming up with, is there anything that you can say right now that's a negative about this? People, what if he doesn't stay healthy? Well, that's not now. That could be sometime down the road. As of right now, I mean, getting a player of that ilk, he's simply one of the most dominant defensive players that's ever played in this league.
Ever. Three-time MVP?
Three-time defensive
player of the year. Defensive player of the year, yeah.
And he had a five-year stretch at the beginning of his career that you could put up against any defensive player in the history of the game, and it would stand up.
The only negative is age and injuries. I mean, you know he's going to give you everything he has.
Yes.
I mean, he did it to that Texans team. It was terrible.
Mm-hmm.
You know he's never going to take a play off. He's never going to take a game off. He's going to give you everything he has. So it's just a matter of does age catch up to him, and can he stay healthy? That's it.
For me, the only negative would be, given what they need and their positional situation, is it what you needed to spend your money on? Is it a proper allocation of your limited resources?
It's a luxury item.
That
man.
Would be my only real concern about this.
Nothing wrong with luxury items.
No.
We all like them.
Yeah.
Walk
right
into Costco, buy the flat screen TV instead of the bag of chicken in the bag. Sure, who doesn't love a good luxury item every now and then?
There's a reason why they put the TVs in the front of the store, Bernsie.
It's really funny,
you got to walk to the back to get milk.
You go in for milk, you walk out with a 72-inch TV.
In the front of the Costco.
That's right. That's good.
All right, guys, thanks. It was good to do this again.
More
J.J. Watt reaction with Burns and Gambo coming up next. Thanks to Charles Davis for joining us, Ron Wolfley, John McClain, and of course Burns and Gambo. Thanks to you for listening as well. The coverage continues here on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station. J.J. Watt is a Cardinal. Burns and Gambo are up next. Have a great day.